So, as I stand before you, as a deacon and a father, I'm humbled that God would bless me to be part of these two important vocations. I think I can speak for all fathers here when I say, we are truly blessed by our wives and children. For they provide meaning and purpose to our lives and allow us to become who our Heavenly Father calls us to be. And not to exclude men for whom the calling of physical fatherhood has not yet materialized, or for those whom it likely won't, those men and young men can today reflect on our fathers and how they have impacted our lives. We can also reflect on how our fathers have shaped our view of who God is. And as fathers, we can reflect on how our vision and understanding of God the Father impacted our own fatherhood and how we relate to our children. So, all this reflecting on fathers and fatherhood and God leads us, I think, pretty naturally into a discussion of the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. But one thing I will not discuss today is a technical theological discussion of Trinity. For one thing, I don't think we have enough time, but I also think for a lot of us, it would not be helpful or effective. Trinity will always be a mystery beyond human understanding. So I'll just focus on what I think matters. First of all, for us Catholic Christians, the Trinity matters, period. It matters that we have a triune God. One God, three persons. It matters that we believe in the Father, the maker of all things. It matters that we believe in the only begotten Son of God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, of the same substance as God. And it matters that we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. But I don't think it matters that we understand how all of it works, but that we understand that it is. The Trinity is not something we can point to somewhere in the Bible that says, this is what Trinity is. But it does have a scriptural basis. For we see it stated in today's second reading, where Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And it's also in Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. To God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. And there are other places in Scripture where you can find this sort of triune God mentioned. So the Church and sacred Scriptures teaches us the Trinity not as some mind-bending dogma imposed on believers just to confuse us, but to tell us about a God in whom we can find creation, salvation, and sanctification through the actions of the persons of the Trinity. A God in whom we find love, healing, and cleansing. In the Gospel today, John 3:16 tells us about God's love. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Let's contemplate this love for a minute. We as fathers, mothers, dear friends, are often filled with fear when we think of the people we love being put in harm's way. for us. We don't even know that they will be harmed, and we're still fearful. But God knew the end of his son's story and still gave us his son. Now, he knew he would suffer, but he also knew that his suffering would be a redemptive suffering. But he still had to watch his son suffer. And for all who love, because it's not in vain, because all who love God will not suffer in vain. For God, at God's essence, he is creative, not destructive. He is the creative life, not the harbinger of death. And the story of Jesus must be seen in the light of a creative and redemptive love. And just as God loves us, Christ, through his obedience and love of the Father, redeems us, saves us, loves us. Christ is there in our pain and in our joy. And Christ's suffering tells us he really does understand our pain. And he is with us through those times. For being human in all things, he shows us the way to the Father. He shows us how to die to self and to love others. We hear this message repeated of how much Jesus loves us in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20. The Son of God, who has loved me and has given himself up for me. And proceeding from the Father and the Son is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Consoler, the Spirit of Truth. We are promised him by Christ in John 14. And I preached on the Spirit of Truth 3 weeks ago. If you remember, I talked a lot about this idea of dwelling and how it is in communion with the Holy Spirit that we move and have our being. So by extension, we also dwell in the Trinity and move and have our being. And the following prayer reflects a vision of the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives that I find useful. Some of you know this. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. The love of God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus. But at the end of the day, the Trinity is an expression of love founded in a we relationship. So now I'll ask for a little participation from the assembly. What I want us to do now is to turn our full attention to the Trinity. What I'm after is for you to experience the words, for you to hear the words I'm about to say, and not just hear them from me, but pray on them, ponder them, and let them into your heart. Let's take about 30 seconds to a minute to ponder or reflect on these words. In the Trinity, we find grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Trinity, we find love. In the Trinity, we find the Holy Spirit.